Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And of course, thank you so much for being here. The anticipation is building. I don't know if you guys feel it, but I certainly feel it. We are just over 2 days away from Packers-Eagles Friday Night Football in Brazil. It just feels so epic already. You get this really fun matchup against two teams that were heading in opposite directions at the end of last year, two very talented teams, two teams that have very high expectations. I don't know what more you could possibly want from a first game other than maybe like it not to be in week one, because this is going to be a major matchup that could very well determine some playoff seeding and matchups towards the end of the year. And, you know, sometimes I feel like a week one matchup maybe should be between an AFC team and an NFC team, so it's not quite as high stakes, but that's another conversation for another day. I don't really care about all that right now. I'm just excited to get into that game. But of course, before we get there, we've got to give some bold predictions for the season. So that's what we are going to be doing today. Before we get there, shout out to our brand new members, Brian Riley, Jay Stanley, and Dismay3221. Thank you so much for signing up. If you haven't done so yet, make sure you do so, because there are some great opportunities out there to sign up for memberships, four different tiers that are available. You get early access to videos. There's going to be a ton, and I mean a ton of bonus content. Today, we're going over bold predictions. I'm going to go over my full NFL season predictions in a members only video. That should be up today. Ross Uglum has bonus content that is out there. Aaron Nagler and I are going to be doing an extra video every single week that's only going to be for members. Extra Q&As, all of it's there. All you have to do is sign up to become a member. So make sure to do so. And again, always appreciate you. If you can't do that, if that's not within your means, that's totally cool. Just thanks for being here. Like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. And just really appreciate you being part of the Pack-A-Day family. All right, let's get into some news and notes, and then we'll get into our main topic for today. There were some transactions that took place on Tuesday. Messiah Swinson, of all people, not somebody that I would have necessarily guessed that was in demand for a 53-man roster spot, but kudos to you, Messiah Swinson. He gets a 53-man roster spot with the Carolina Panthers, and they are a little bit short at tight end at the moment. They've got a couple of key tight ends that are injured, so they pick up Messiah Swinson off the Packers practice squad, add him to their 53-man roster, which left an open practice squad position in Green Bay. Green Bay signs Christopher Brooks to the practice squad. He is a running back, which makes a lot of sense because Marshawn Lloyd did not practice on Tuesday. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Also, Emmanuel Wilson was listed on the injury report as well. So you're going into the season a little bit maybe light at running back, or at least a little bit banged up at running back. LaMichael Perine and, of course, now Christopher Brooks probably not going to be factored into that decision of who's going to get called up in week one if Marshawn Lloyd can't go. That's probably going to be Ellis Merriweather just because he knows the system a little bit better, but still just getting a little bit more depth at that position makes some sense. And then Caleb Jones, former Packers roster, 53-man roster player from the last couple seasons, and you know, somebody you thought maybe would be on the practice squad this year, he signed with the Patriots practice squad, so good for him as well. Speaking of that injury report, Marshawn Lloyd was the only Packer that was not participating in some capacity. Matt LaFleur said there was no setback. This was just part of the process, but he was on the exercise bike when we were, you know, had access to the stretch period. That's the only thing that we got access to on Tuesday. But again, Marshawn Lloyd did not practice with that hamstring injury. Edgerrin Cooper was limited with a hip injury. Romeo Doubs limited with a hand injury. It sounds like he was able to get through practice just fine. Carrington Valentine limited with a hamstring. And then Emmanuel Wilson, as mentioned, limited with a hip injury. That is your full Packers injury report. From an Eagles standpoint, A.J. Brown and Landon Dickerson were both limited, but they were just veteran rest, so no actual injury. Isaiah Rodgers, the corner, was limited with a hand injury, and then Devin White was limited with a hip injury. So those are your injury updates for Packers-Eagles. Sounds like both teams are going to get a pretty darn good bill of health going into week one. I would maybe think that Marshawn Lloyd is probably going to be listed as questionable, maybe doubtful, but everyone else would be, you know, maybe you get a couple questionables on some of these guys, but I don't know that there's any real concern about anyone else besides Marshawn Lloyd playing at this point going into Friday's matchup. And that brings us to our bold predictions for 2024/2025. Now, I'll just a quick disclaimer. These are 15 predictions. Some of them range in their boldness. Some are a little bit more safe. Some are a little bit more bold, but we'll go through them nonetheless. And I'm going to give you my 15 Packers predictions for this upcoming season. We'll start with number one, which is a question I have been asked probably more than any other question this entire offseason. And that is, which Packer will lead the team in receptions and yards? And some of you may know that I've given this answer before, and I'm not changing it now. I'm sticking with it. I'm going with Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed will lead the team in both receptions and yards. And again, maybe not the boldest take in the world, but I will say this. Guessing anyone to lead this team in receptions and yards is a bit of a bold take, because you could tell me that it is Dobbs, Wicks, Reed, you know, or Watson, and I would believe you. It feels like you've got about a 25% chance, maybe either way. And there's still going to be other players. Like, could you end up with Josh Jacobs getting a bunch of receptions, maybe, or maybe a tight end? Like, there, it's just going to be so many mouths to feed in this offense that it's hard to imagine one player just getting this crazy share of targets and yards. But I am going with Jaden Reed. And somebody asked me the other day, you know, what was going on with Jaden Reed in camp? Like, he kind of had a quiet camp. And I would agree. It wasn't the loudest of training camps. It wasn't, you know, him making plays every single day. It was just consistency. And I would say this is a player that, kind of like Luke Musgrave as well, another player who kind of had a quiet camp, their time is going to be game time. This is when Matt LaFleur is going to start getting a little bit more creative with how to involve players like Jaden Reed and Luke Musgrave specifically in the offense because of their unique skill sets. And you see things a little bit more schemed up for those type of players. You don't see that in practice. You don't see that in preseason. You don't see that in joint practices. So as soon as we get to the regular season, I expect to see a little bit more unique and creative play calling specifically for guys like Jaden Reed and Luke Musgrave. And of all the receivers on this team, I do feel like Jaden Reed has the most defined role as the primary slot guy, is going to be out there a ton. And I do believe he's the receiver that maybe gets the most stuff schemed up for him with some pop passes and things like that, some wide receiver screens. So I think he is going to lead this Packers team in receptions and yards and carry over what was a really impressive rookie year into an even more impressive sophomore year in year two with the Packers. Number two, a little bit more of a, I don't know if you want to call it a sad note or any, you know, well, it is what it is. Every single year, there are players that will play their last downs as members of the Green Bay Packers. So this year, my four guys that I think will be playing their last seasons as members of the Green Bay Packers include Josh Myers, Preston Smith, TJ Slayton, and Eric Stokes. I think those four, and there'll be others, of course. There'll be probably about, you know, 38 guys that are on this roster now that will be on the active roster next year. And there'll be new players, new faces next year. But the four big ones, the players we've got to know a little bit more, or have been able to get to know a little bit more, I should say, that will probably be gone next year. Again, Myers, Smith, Slayton, and Stokes. Now, all of them, Slayton, Stokes, and Myers are free agents. Preston Smith is under contract, but that contract kind of keeps going up. He's one of the elder statesmen on this team, the oldest player on the roster. And at some point, you think they probably start going younger and going with Rashawn Gary, Kingsley Enagbare, and LVN. And I think that's what's going to happen next year. Now, it's a little bit of a running joke at this point, because there's been about four or five off seasons now that I thought that maybe Preston Smith could be playing his last season as a Packer. So maybe not. Maybe he comes back next year and continues to tear it up this year. And that'd be great. I'm not wishing Preston Smith away by any means, but nor am I necessarily with any of these guys. But I think with Josh Myers, you could look at Jacob Monk as a very, you know, key potential successor there. Heck, you could even look at Zach Tom or Elgton Jenkins. You know, if you told me next year it was Rashid Walker, Sean Ryan, Elgton Jenkins, Jordan Morgan, and Zach Tom left to right, I would believe that. If you told me it was Jacob Monk at center, I would believe that. If you told me it was Zach Tom and it ended up being Rashid Walker, Elgton Jenkins, Zach Tom, Sean Ryan, and Jordan Morgan at right tackle, I think I could even potentially get behind that. So I think there's a lot of different ways that this could go, but with so many options there, I think Myers will be playing his last year in Green Bay this season. Preston, we kind of talked about with that contract and just getting older. TJ Slayton, a free agent. They're still going to have Devontae Wyatt under contract next year, and we'll see if they pick up their fifth-year option. Spoiler, more on that in just a moment. Kenny Clark just signed the contract extension. You still have Colby Wooden. You still have Carl Brooks. It looks like it's going to be a pretty good defensive tackle draft next year. Would kind of guess that maybe that's a position that they look at to replace in the draft rather than giving an extensive contract to TJ Slayton. And then Eric Stokes. This is one of those situations where I could see them going a little bit younger at the position, and I could see them feeling like Carrington Valentine could just be the starter going into next year. So for those reasons, I'm going to say Myers, Preston Smith, TJ Slayton, and Eric Stokes play their last seasons as members of the Green Bay Packers. And again, I don't say that to be negative or that any of them are going to have bad seasons or anything like that. I always go through those just to say like, hey, just remember, if you're a big fan of Myers or Preston or Slayton or Stokes, just enjoy the season a little bit more because it could be their last season in Green Bay. Maybe one or two of those guys are back. Maybe they're all back. We'll have to wait and see. But my prediction is those four probably play their last snaps this upcoming year in Green Bay. We finally made it. It's opening week. Our fantasy drafts are done. Our pick'em selections are in. And the last thing we need to do is get our prize pick selections made for this week's incredible slate of action. And to kick off football season, one Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on prize picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss the deal on prize picks because it's gone when September ends. What I love about prize picks is that they always put their members first. So all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. And when my picks hit, I can get my money in as quick as 15 minutes. So obviously, yes, I'm going to be playing Caleb Williams to start the season, and I'll also be going with the newest Packers star running back, Josh Jacobs, against the Eagles in Brazil as well. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. What's going on, everybody? I am so insanely happy that football is back. And as excited as I am right now, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to be back at Lambeau Field. And this year, I'm going to be taking my oldest son to his first ever regular season game, and that moment is going to mean so much to me. Thankfully, as I search for tickets to the game, Game Time has a brand new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. I'm actually scrolling through Game Time right now as we speak, and there are two tickets exactly in the section where I want, and it's currently listed as one of their amazing deals. Section 137, two tickets, and it's just so insanely easy to navigate and find amazing seats at the best prices, plus have the exact view of the seats you're purchasing. I can see them right now. And my absolute favorite part, Game Time has the lowest price guarantee. You'll get the lowest price to the game or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, P-A-C-K-A-D-A-Y, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Number three, speaking of that fifth-year option, Devontae Wyatt will have his fifth-year option picked up. Quay Walker will not have his fifth-year option picked up. I think Devontae Wyatt playing a more premium position at defensive tackle, these players are getting tougher and tougher to find. I expect him to be a great fit within this Jeff Hafley defense. I think even if he has a good to really good year, they will pick up his fifth-year option in the offseason. With Quay, it's a bit more complicated. I think he needs to go out and have a really good year this year, and if he doesn't, I think they will make next year more of a prove-it year for Quay to say, hey, we want to see you really grasp the system and really go out and play really well before we're going to give you this fifth-year option or any sort of contract extension. So I think it could become more of a prove-it year next year for Quay. Now, if he goes up and just tears it up in this Jeff Hafley defense this year, then yeah, could he get his fifth year option picked up? Absolutely. But you also have to remember, you drafted two players in the top 100 of the draft at that position in Edgerrin Cooper and Tyron Hopper. There's a world where you let Quay play out his fourth year next year. And even if this year is not Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper time, even if next year isn't Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper time, you're certainly hoping that by 2026, it's Edgerrin Cooper and Tyron Hopper time, that they've had 2 years to digest the system and know what they need to do. And then in year three, at minimum, they're ready to go out and execute, hopefully at least the level that Quay has shown these last couple of years. So I think the Quay decision is going to be a little bit more difficult, but I expect Wyatt's fifth year option to be picked up. And I think Quay might end up having to play out that fourth year, which can be a benefit to the player as well. If he goes out and has a great fourth year, then he's a free agent rather than just having one more year on a fifth year option. So it could still play out well for Quay in that situation. But I'm going to say again, Wyatt gets his fifth year option picked up and Quay does not. Number four. Okay. I'm going to say it. The Packers will finish with a top 10 overall defense. And I'm not talking some fool's gold sort of crap here. I'm not saying it was like 10th in yards, but like 20th in points. Or it was like 10th in points, but they didn't get any turnovers and they allowed a ton of yards and other teams bled the clock or something like that. I'm not talking about like one small category in the top 10. I think this is a true, legitimate top 10 defense. And at least around top 10 in turnovers, top 10 in points allowed, and top 10 in yards allowed. And I cannot believe I'm saying it, because what have I said over and over and over again? I will believe they have a top 10 defense when I see at the end of the year that they were actually a top 10 defense. So if you want a bold prediction, I'm going against everything that I've said. I'm buying into the Jeff Hafley hype. I'm buying into him as a coordinator. I'm buying into this scheme. I'm buying into the talent. I'm buying in that they're going to put it all together. And by goodness, this will be a top 10 defense in 2024/2025. And it'll be the biggest improvement that this team makes. And it'll be on the defensive side of the ball. And it'll be in large part due to this new system, scheme, and teaching ability of Jeff Hafley, with really utilizing these players to the best of their ability, which I don't think happened in the Joe Barry era. So that's why I'm saying Packers will finish top 10 in overall defense. All right, number five, because of that, because they finish in the top 10, and because of how impressive that he is, I expect Jeff Hafley will already get head coaching interviews in 2025, but he will not get a job. I don't think he gets an offer. I don't think he gets any sort of actual head coaching job, but I do think he will get interviews for it. I think the more and more that I listen to Jeff Hafley, the more I believe he is probably destined to be a head coach at some time. He has to go out and prove it as a defensive coordinator in the NFL first. If he wants a head coaching job in the NFL, go and master and dominate as a defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. And if he does that, though, he's going to have opportunities. And if he finishes top 10 this year for defense with the Packers, I think he'll already get that first opportunity next year. Again, not get the job. I think he'll be the defensive coordinator again next year, maybe even the year after that. But I think you're already going to see some teams start sniffing around at Jeff Hafley just to see, start getting him on their interview radar and see what he's capable of. And it wouldn't shock me if he impressed the team either, or came down to like even got a second interview with the team. But I'm going to say that it doesn't happen quite yet. But I think that seed will already start to be planted in 2025. Number six, I can't be all positive on everything, right? I have to say some things that might go in the opposite direction. Otherwise, I'm just a blind homer. So I'm going to say number six, the Packers will regret the Aaron Jones decision, meaning releasing him and letting him go and ultimately letting him get to Minnesota. And I don't know how that's going to completely manifest itself. Maybe Aaron Jones goes off against Green Bay when they play each other in one of the games and Green Bay loses because of that. Maybe Aaron Jones just outplays Josh Jacobs this year. Maybe Josh Jacobs is the 2023 version of Jacobs, where he just wasn't himself, couldn't gain extra yardage, and Aaron Jones, like I said, just completely outplays him in Minnesota. It could manifest itself in a variety of different ways. My belief here is that this is less about Josh Jacobs, that it's not going to be Josh Jacobs having a bad year, and it's not going to be this tremendous regret. But I do think there's going to be a piece of Aaron Jones that just feels like it's kind of missing within this offense. And could it be the opposite, where Jones goes out and plays three games and continues to have troubles with injuries? Sure, it could go in that direction as well. But I think when we look back at 2024 and look at the moves that Goody made in the offseason, my guess is that to some extent, there will be some regret that Aaron Jones was not a part of this team for the course of the season, and you know, maybe even going into playoffs in 2025. So meaning for this upcoming playoff year in the 2024-2025 season. So the Packers will regret losing Aaron Jones in some capacity. Number seven, Josh Jacobs, Rashawn Gary, Jaire Alexander, and Xavier McKinney will all be selected to the Pro Bowl, whatever that even means anymore. The Pro Bowl games, I don't know. I don't pay attention to any of that, but it is still sort of a quote-unquote honor to be selected to the Pro Bowl. I think Green Bay will have four selections to the team, not like alternates later on or anything, but Jacobs, Rashawn Gary, Jaire Alexander, and Xavier McKinney. Those will be the four. I think Jordan Love will very much be in the discussion. I think sometimes these things take a couple years before you kind of get your flowers a little bit more, which is also, by the way, why I don't know that Josh Jacobs will necessarily be deserving of it, but he will probably still get voted it because he's Josh Jacobs. I could see Xavier McKinney with the big contract getting a little bit more recognition. I think Rashawn Gary is certainly deserving, and I think a huge season from him would go a long way, and I think Jaire will definitely be worthy of that consideration in 2024. So Jacobs, Gary, Alexander, and McKinney all selected to the Pro Bowl games or whatever it's called now. Number eight, Robert Rochel will be this year's key practice squad call-up. Last year was Bo Melton and Corey Ballantyne. Those two had pretty big impacts towards the end of, even the middle of last year for Ballantyne and the end of the year for Bo Melton. I do think it's a little bit more of a watered down practice squad this year. There's not as many players that I look at and be like, oh, that's a very obvious call-up at some point, but I think Rochel will be. Now, you go back to last year, and Corey Ballantyne was expected to be somebody that you had on the practice squad that you could call up at any given moment to be a core special teams guy. And then that kind of, happened, but he ended up having to play a bunch of snaps on defense because of injuries. I could see a very similar situation happening with Robert Rochel, where he may initially get called up just to be a special teams guy, but maybe some injuries hit and he actually has to go in the game. And I think he will respond well to it if given the opportunity, and could have a very similar Corey Ballantyne role from 2023 for Rochel in 2024. Number nine, Javon Bullard will finish top three in defensive rookie of the year voting. I think he is a under the radar name to really keep an eye on for a multitude of reasons. One, he's going to be a starter from day one. If he's healthy, he's probably going to play every snap this season. He's going to play some in the slot, some in the box, some in the post. He's going to be given a lot of opportunities. And I think Jeff Hafley is going to be extremely creative with him and how they use him. And I could see him blitzing a lot, so opportunities for sacks. I could see him playing center field, so some opportunities for interceptions. I could see him moving all around the field, so again, the ability to be around the ball a lot. I could see a lot of tackles. And I could see you all of a sudden getting to the end of the year and being like, man, Javon Bullard has like 80 tackles, four picks, a pick six, two forced fumbles, a fumble recovery, 3.5 sacks. Like, oh my goodness. Like, I could just see him being sort of one of those stat stuffing players. And I don't know, again, that he gets to the top of that list where he becomes the actual defensive rookie of the year, but I bet he finishes top three in voting for defensive rookie of the year. Number 10, my irrational excitement. Braden Narveson will make over 90% of his kicks on the season. It won't be much. It'll be like 90.1%, but he will make at least 9 out of every 10 kicks that he takes this upcoming year. What do I have to believe in that? Absolutely nothing. I cannot tell you in any way, shape, or form that this is what Braden Narveson is going to be really good at, and that's why he's going to make 90% of his kicks. It is blind, dumb faith, which is, of course, not why I do this. It's not, usually I like to have a little bit more of an analytical approach, but you know what? Sometimes we just get to have fun. We're having a little bit of fun today. Predictions can only go so far anyway. If I knew everything, I would just be betting everything in Vegas. But I'm going to say and no regrets whatsoever, Braden Narveson will make over 90% of his kicks in 2024. Hey friends, how would you like to support the podcast and have a chance to earn $500? Well, you can go to bluewirepods.com/survey and complete the Blue Wire audience survey about you and your podcast listening habits for a chance to win a $500 gift card. This survey will help create a better advertising experience for you and audiences, and in turn, help this show. That's bluewirepods.com/survey, where all you have to do is answer some simple questions for a chance to win $500. Make sure to read the full terms and disclaimer, plus complete the survey for a chance to win. That's bluewirepods.com/survey. The link is also in the show notes of this episode. We appreciate it a ton. Number 11, by the end of 2024, we will already see a massive impact from this rookie class. I think at the beginning of the year, we're maybe not going to see a ton from the rookies, but I think by the end, you will see the importance of this rookie class, and I think they will be making their presence felt in a significant way. I bet Jordan Morgan will either be starting or will have made numerous starts through the course of the year by that point. Javon Bullard will have been the starter through the entirety of the year, assuming he stays healthy. I believe you will see Edgerrin Cooper by the end of the year starting to flash some real serious potential and upside and already starting to make some significant plays by the end of this year. I think you will see Marshawn Lloyd become more and more involved with the offense as the season goes on and become a very dynamic number two running back and an unbelievable complement to Josh Jacobs. I think you will see Tyron Hopper be used a little bit more in base defense and maybe get some more actual defensive snaps to go along with what probably is a healthy diet of special team snaps. I think Evan Williams will have a major role this year. I would not be surprised if Jacob Monk made multiple starts through the course of this year. And I think just that in and of itself, not to mention Braden Narveson, of course, making 90% of his kicks. He's a rookie too. So I think this rookie class on the whole is going to end up by the end of the year being something that we talk about extremely favorably, and that it's all going to be trending in the, well, most of it at least will be trending in the right direction, and they will make a very large impact by the end of this year. Number 12, the one true biggest breakout player for the Packers will be Tucker Kraft. You guys know how I feel about Tucker Kraft. Dontayvion Wicks, I want to put in this conversation as well, but Tucker Kraft to me is about to show that he is a well-rounded, complete tight end that can do everything that's needed in this offense. I think he's going to be a better blocker than a year ago, a better pass catcher, gain more separation, be better after the catch. I think his trajectory is going to go exponentially up, and I think you're going to see a big-time playmaker at the tight end position and somebody that really has the potential to take this offense to this next level. A lot of great quarterbacks through the history of time have had that big time tight end. And I'm not saying it can't be Luke Musgrave too, and that they can't use all these weapons, but I think when we get to the end of the year, the one key breakout player that you're going to say, oh my goodness, look at the unbelievable step that he took, I think we're going to be talking about Tucker Kraft. Number 13, this is a fun one. The Packers will make a key addition at the trade deadline. Last year, they traded away Rasul Douglas. This year, I think we are going to see Goody be more aggressive. I think if you look at around where the trade deadline is, Green Bay has a pretty winnable slot of games to start the season. I could see this being a team that, you know, maybe only has one loss at the trade deadline, maybe two, and is trending in the right direction, but maybe Goody identifies one need, and I don't think he's going to hesitate to pull the trigger. He's got the salary cap space to do something if he wants to do it. He's got the draft capital to do something if he wants to do it. And I think they will, and maybe it's not something crazy significant, but I think it'll be a key addition at the trade deadline that will help this Packers team towards the end of the year and into the playoffs. Don't have a name in mind. Who knows what teams are going to be sellers by that point? So I don't have anyone in particular. I don't think it's going to be Devontae Adams or anything crazy like that, but I do think they will make a key addition at the trade deadline. Number 14, the Packers will get their revenge on the San Francisco 49ers in the playoffs. Don't know what's going to happen in the regular season game, but they will find a way to beat the 49ers in the playoffs. They have a lot of receipts from 49ers victories that have knocked the Packers out of the playoffs over the last like decade plus. It is time for revenge. The Packers will get it this year. They will match up with the 49ers again in the playoffs, but this time the Packers will come out on top. And number 15 maybe isn't the boldest prediction in the world. It might be a little bit of a cop-out, but there's a reason I'm doing it this way. My final one, the Packers will at least make it to the NFC Championship game. What happens from there? Your guess is as good as mine. But I do believe they will at least make it to the NFC Championship game. I think a lot of it will depend on health. I think a lot of it will depend upon who their opponent is. Could they lose in the NFC Championship game? Yes. Could they win it and lose in the Super Bowl? Yes. Could they win it and win the Super Bowl? Yes. Which one of those three it is? I don't know. Put three numbers in a random number generator and pick your favorite one, whatever. But to me, I feel like this team will at least reach the NFC Championship and then the world is their oyster from there. And it'll be up to them on how they go about getting ready for those games, performing in those games, and hopefully finally getting over the hump and beating some of these really good teams in the NFC Championship game, in the Super Bowl, to go on and bring the Lombardi Trophy back to Green Bay. So at least NFC Championship game. And the reason I mentioned there's a reason for this. One, you know, again, this is just a prediction. B, I never want to get to the point where I'm saying, yep, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Because then you're just constantly setting yourself up for disappointment every year. There's a really good chance, in fact, a great chance that the Packers do not win a Super Bowl this year. That is the overwhelming chance, is that they don't win a Super Bowl this year. Can they? Yeah, I really think they can. But if we just get to this point where we have like tunnel vision, where it's Super Bowl or bust, you're just kind of setting yourself and the team up for failure far more often than not. Should they be mentioned in the discussion to win the Super Bowl? Absolutely. They are deserving to be there. They have every right to go out and prove themselves. And I think this will be a very fun and exciting season. And they're going to win a lot of games. But this will come down to execution in January and what teams they match up against and how healthy they are and how well they play in that game will be the determining factor. So I don't want to necessarily say like, yep, Super Bowl it is. And then we, you know, they lose in the wild card or divisional round. And it's like, oh, what an insanely disappointing season. It's really, really hard to win a Super Bowl, but I do think they're in the discussion. I do think they'll make it to the NFC Championship game. That's a Final Four. That's a heck of a season, no matter what. If you make it to the Final Four, that's a pretty good season. Now, in Green Bay, you are measured on championships. There's no question about it. And as much as I maybe want to try to temper expectations, we all know what the goal is in Green Bay. It's a Super Bowl. That's the goal. Every year, year in and year out, figure it out. Like last year, nobody really expected it. What did it end up being by the end of the year? The goal was to win a Super Bowl. And they didn't come that far off last year. So that's sort of the goal again. But they'll get to the NFC Championship is my prediction. And then we'll see from there. But I think they're going to have a puncher's chance with this really fun and exciting young team. So my 15 bold predictions for the 2024-2025 season. Number one, Jaden Reed will lead the team in yards and receptions. Number two, Josh Myers, Preston Smith, TJ Slayton, and Eric Stokes will play their last games as members of the Green Bay Packers. Number three, Devontae Wyatt will have his fifth-year option picked up. Quay Walker will not. Number four, the Packers will, yes, finish with a top 10 overall defense. Number five, Jeff Hafley will get head coaching interviews in the offseason. Number six, the Packers will regret letting Aaron Jones go. Number seven, Josh Jacobs, Rashawn Gary, Jair Alexander, and Xavier McKinney will be Pro Bowl selections. Number eight, Robert Rochelle will be this year's key practice squad call-up. Number nine, Javon Bullard will finish top three in Defensive Rookie of the Year voting. Number 10, Braden Narveson will make over 90% of his kicks. Number 11, by the end of 2024, we'll already see a massive impact from this rookie class. Number 12, Tucker Kraft will be the true breakout player of the year for the Packers. Number 13, they will make a key addition at the trade deadline. Number 14, the Packers will get their revenge against the 49ers in the playoffs. And number 15, the Packers will make it at least to the NFC Championship game. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, most hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Jay Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Hwang, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Itaka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, Love and Football, and Jay Zimmerman. That's going to do it for me, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.